you very much for coming, especially on a wet Monday night. And as you heard from the introduction, my name is Jeremy Fitzgerald, and I walked the River Thames from London City to Source. And on the way, I wrote a series of poems called Haiku and Tanka. And in case you don't know anything about Haiku and Tanka, generally speaking, Haiku are three-line poems, but quite short. Many people think they have to be 17 syllables, 575, but they don't. It's more important to follow the Zen tradition than the 575. And then there's a kind of slightly longer version of that called Tanka, which in traditional form was 5757. So basically we could call it Rumi haiku, or haiku that don't know when to end. And I wrote this, it kind of alternates between the two. Most people start the river on Source and go down, but I did it the other way. I didn't realize that because I was walking upriver and these other people coming the other way. The collection, that's my first collection, Thames Way, published 2 years ago, and I broke it up into three sections, lower, middle, and upper, which reflects the stages of the river. And anybody who was here early, you might have seen I did a film, poetry film of it, so I took photos on the way, and I put the poems in the photos, some of them, and a friend of mine got music, and he submitted it to the OVL competition, and thankfully he selected it. So you can view that online. It's called Thames Way OVL on Vimeo. So I'm just going to read some poems from it. Haiku are generally short, and because they're so short, they tend to read them twice. They say one for the head, one for the heart. I'm only going to read about 14 or 15, because I have been a long haiku poet and I write other stuff as well. I have been to haiku events where it's haiku all night and it's actually quite intense. So short, it's actually, by the end of the night, your brain is just kind of going running about. So, I mean, there's 100 here, if I read them all, you'd be killing me at the end of the night. So, I'll just read 14 or 15, and then, depending on time, I've written other haiku non-related to this collection, and then I also write short lyric poetry, so I think I'll switch and end on that. There. Okay, done. Okay, can you hear me better? Okay, great. So this one is from the lower part of the river, which is kind of near London City. Fountain water sprays up and down, with children laughing. One mother reaches for a quick kiss. Fountain water sprays up and down, with children laughing. One mother reaches for a quick kiss. Large boy moves left, then right, and left again. Tides keep moving us about. Large boy moves left, then right, and left again. Tides keep moving us about. Foam and scum whirl in the canal. Dancing atoms, galaxies circle in space. Foam and scum whirl in the canal, dancing atoms, galaxies circle in space. Water over the wide weir, echoing long after I have moved on. Water over the wide weir, echoing long after I have moved on. Boat driver tilts the wheel left, then right. Water under the keel, how slow the Thames. Boat driver tilts the wheel left, then right. Water under the keel, how slow the Thames. So that's from the lower part of the river, which is mainly London City and some barons. And then I went into the middle section of the river, which is actually the prettiest part of the river, and this just continues the journey. A young couple, kissing by the bank. I scrape open the metal gate, their lips even more busy. A young couple, kissing by the bank. I scrape open the metal gate, their lips even more busy. In the marshes, without my map, joyously lost. In the marshes, without my map, joyously lost. A bubble goes round and round in the puddle. I go on and on in rain or sunshine. A bubble goes round and round in the puddle. I go on and on in rain or sunshine. Sharp screech. The metal gate protests at being moved. Sharp screech. The metal gate protests at being moved. Crickets sing to each other with fast wings, the air humid with desire. Crickets sing to each other with fast wings, the air humid with desire. The sun goes down, reddening the river, and geese cackle. Do they fear endless nights? The sun goes down, reddening the river, and geese cackle. Do they fear endless nights? In the next section, the last section of the collection is upper, and I had originally anticipated to walk the entire river in one go, but basically I hurt my foot, and I had to more or less abandon the path and recover, and then I came back the following year. And that was in the summer 2010 or 11, and the following year of summer 2012 was actually when the Thames Path was flooded. That was, I don't know if you remember, vaguely a number of years ago where England got hit with a lot of floods, and there were times when the path was, I couldn't tell the difference between the path and the river. It was just like, I actually was up to my knees in water. So it actually kind of, that worked out well because the mood in the collection kind of shifts slightly darker, and it kind of doesn't, normally when you end a journey, it's like, yay, I made it, but I ended up like, thanks for fucking telling me. It's kind of like, it was more of a kind of a, I've done it. Well, at the time it wasn't actually like, you might think, oh, this is going to be static or far from, going through all that muck and crap and everything. So I'll just read a few more. Dried out dandelions beside the tall grass, a flicker of wind. Dried out dandelions beside the tall grass, a flicker of wind. The long grass tickles my bare feet, touching memories. The long grass tickles my bare feet, touching memories. Yellow lichen covers the grey wooden gate, cracking into pieces. Sigh of the breeze under the bridge. Yellow lichen covers the grey wooden gate, cracking into pieces. Sigh of the breeze under the bridge. After heavy showers, the path, a necklace of puddles. After heavy showers, the path, a necklace of puddles. Open field, a fly lands on my finger and studies me intently. Open field, a fly lands on my finger and studies me intently. and I'll finish on this collection. I have eight more in this collection, I'll finish on this. My legs resting, at last, journey's end, dust settles on the train platform. My legs resting, at last, journey's end, dust settles on the train platform. Test your patience. I'll read just a few at random. These are completely. I've written more haiku before this and subsequent to it, so it's like, this is a unthemed collection. So that collection, the first one, which is if anybody wants to buy, €10. It's all about the River Thames, and then I'm currently working on a second collection, and it's unthemed and it's kind of like loads of stuff there. So I'm just going to open. I won't read too many because you can haiku out. I think. And these are all haiku, so they're all three lines, and and I'll just open at random. If I happen, some of the words are Japanese, because I live in Japan, I learned some of the Japanese language, and if I happen to open a page that has a Japanese word, I will explain, you know, for them, and Google it, whatever. This one, I'll read some of these. I put subtitles on them as well. This one's called Sound. At a haiku reading, the ring of tram bells filling the pauses. At a haiku reading, the ring of tram bells filling the pauses. Empty house next door, from behind the tattered curtains, not a sound. Empty house next door, from behind the tattered curtains, not sound. At night, blue light flashes on my bedroom wall, an ambulance passes. At night, blue light flashes on my bedroom wall, an ambulance passes. This bit is called movement. Upturned boat, wind-whipped sand wipes it clean. Upturned boat, wind-whipped sand wipes it clean. From the train window, concrete, more concrete, finally cherry blossoms. From the train window, concrete, more concrete, finally cherry blossoms. Bus almost empty, a stranger and myself left sitting together. Bus almost empty, a stranger and myself left sitting together. And I'll just read three more from this, and that'll be enough. This one's called Animals. Cold kitchen, I turn it over quietly. Dead family dog. Cold kitchen. I turn it over quietly. Dead family dog. Sunlight glistens on the money spider web, waving in the air. Sunlight glistens on the money spider web, waving in the air. Waltzing up to my biscuits, a large crow. Waltzing up to my biscuits, a large crow. So that's my second collection. I'm still working on it, so it's not a finished product yet. It's called 1,000 Sparks, so I'm going to be working on it in the next few years, and hopefully we'll be launching that. As you may have heard from the introduction, I walked the Camino. I highly, highly recommend it. Anybody, if you haven't done it already, it's definitely a life-changing event. It was for me. I got a lot more out of it than I had bargained for. I thought I'd just walk up to here and that'll be it, but I got a lot more, as I said. And I didn't intend to write, but being writing, you know, stuff happens. And I also write short lyric poetry. Haiku's kind of, I've been writing short lyric poetry for longer than I've been doing haiku. So haiku's a somewhat more recent thing. So I kind of go from one to the other and back again. And when I was walking the Camino, I just kind of stuff would just come to me, and eventually I created a small collection of 15 poems, the short lyric poems. I won't read them all because, again, I don't want to be testing your patience. And I call them Camino Cantos. Cantos is the Spanish word for song, because, well, they're not really song-like, but I like alliteration, and I try to get it in there as much as I can. So I'll just read a few from it. So the first one is called Prayer. And sometimes I like to pay homage to other writers that I like, so I will basically steal an opening line or model a poem on them. So you'll probably hear Gerard Manley Hopkins in this one, and this one's called Prayer. God's grandeur in a steeple appearing over a hill, a rose-hip bud in this early spring, a sudden opening in the hedgerow, a breeze blowing dust from the pack, the click-clack sound of walking poles, a torrent of raindrops falling slantways, a sun wheel coming through the clouds, a green field that seems to go on and on, a leaf from an olive tree brushing the wind, a sharp turn in the path as it zigzags down the slope. Now, one thing that surprised me in the Camino was it's a very, very popular thing. You know, like a lot of people who do it, and it starts quite popular, and then you go try and get in the middle, you know, it's the Meseta or the Death Zone, and I think it's actually a highly appropriate name because you go to real ghost towns. I mean, people complaining about an Ireland rural depopulation, you go to Spain, you see what rural population is. There are literally nobody there. You go to towns and cities, come out in the city, but villages and towns, and there's literally nobody. And everywhere is boarded up. It's kind of creepy. And I thought, like, this is on the Camino, and they're getting a lot of tourists coming through here. And I'm thinking, go ahead and place it off the Camino. So this inspired this poem, which is called Silent Town. The town the hill keeps moving away, no matter how closely I seem to get. It teases me. My legs are as tense as my worries. The April wind changes swiftly from hot to cold. I take off my rucksack 10 times in the last 10 minutes. It is heavier each time, though I've used up all my water. The road turns and suddenly I have arrived. Sheets of wood are placed on the front doors. No child kicks a football. No one laughs, just dust and dead wind. There is a silence at the core of fear. The town reminds me of the side of my brow, the growth of the creases around my eyes. I have been on my own for the last 3 days, as my fellow peregrinos have left. I reset my bag, hear the clink of the St. James's scallop. But it's not all doom and gloom, and you do meet very good people on the Camino. And, you know, it's kind of one of these things that you meet them, and you meet people, and you hear their life story in a way that you wouldn't normally hear, and kind of make friends for life, really, on the Camino. So this one's called, and there's also people, sometimes you're just too tired to even talk, and this is kind of a dedication to when you see somebody, they want to talk to you, you want to talk to them, but you're just actually too tired. So I call it called Silent Friend. The hill is steep and brown stones roll down untouched by my foot. I blow in and out catching my breath. I pass a man in hiking gear covered in sweat under his large backpack. I can feel his weight. Since I have no words to give, I just lift a baby finger from my hiking pole. He nods to me. I did the Camino in two parts. I did it at the Easter time and then I did it at the summer time. And when I stayed in one of the places, they were offering a physio for free. There was massages for free. So I thought, heck yeah, like, you know, I just walked like 30 kilometers and dragged myself into our youth hostel. So it was a lady who was offering it. So I said, yeah, sure, sign me up. So this was called Touching Skin. I was embarrassed by stripping in front of this physio. She could see the carpet of my hairy chest and back. My belly flopped out and I tried to suck it back in. The first pressure was a shock. No one had touched me like that before. She pressed my skin like kneading dough. She was professional and did not linger. Now and again, her touch became a little rough. She said, "Turn over," first in Spanish, then in English. She massaged the leg muscles and then the feet. More pain was put on the strained muscles until I felt the release of tension. Skin was smoothed and freshened. Warmth suffused my body and nerves tingled. I stumbled from the plinth, remained. So the Camino, there were times I was feeling ecstatic and it was just like you could only feel the presence of God and you're kind of like going, oh my God, this is enlightenment, you know, I made it. I'm going to come home totally zen and like become a Buddhist monk. And then there's other days of going, what the fuck am I doing this to myself? And you're just like, you go from what I felt, but for me anyway, you go from one extreme to the other and back again. So it's really, it's an emotional journey as well as an actual physical journey. And sometimes I suppose all poets get this, is they get lines and they know it's a cool line, but they're waiting for the rest of the poem to come and it doesn't come. And it's like you get these lines, they're rolling around in your head, and eventually, hopefully, they find the poem. And I did. So the last two lines were the two lines that were rolling in my head for nearly like a decade. And they finally formed a poem, or found the poem, and it's the first time I wrote what I consider to be a successful sonnet. I don't usually write in formal verse because I find it hard. This is the first time I could say, yeah, I wrote in formal verse and it actually worked a bit. Anyway, so this is called Thunderstorm Coming Over the Valley. The horse chestnut leaves cover the way, shading off the sunlight. The mud flows down this steep and rocky path. The air is tight with the threat of thunder. I am covered in sweat from the dead heat. This mountain path is killing me. I wish I could replace my bleeding feet with a fresh pair that is totally pain-free. I have reached the point of surrender, my tears caused not only by a cut or blister. I seek forgiveness for my sins, forgive everyone for their deeds. I am dying to my own life, living this death. Lord Jesus, come and glory. And I'll just read two more and then I'll finish on this. This is the last poem from the collection. It's a bit of a downbeat ending. I don't know why all my walks seem to end on a downbeat, but anyway. And then I'll finish off in a slightly happier tone. So this one's called Sunset at Finisterre. It's fairly self-explanatory. The sun pinks the clouds. A red band rests over the horizon. The dome of the sky turns to ochre. The moon comes out brighter. I can see the creases on her face, just about make out the sea of tranquility. Some pilgrims are burning their clothes. The smell of cloth fills the air. Burn my sins away. Burn, burn. The red band loses its color. And the sky's black and makes me think, why do I carry all of this hurt? I look to the lighthouse for an answer. The signal goes round and round and keeps to its slow motion. Since that's a rather downbeat ending, I don't want to be feeling home. So I'll actually read a poem where I was kind of like, oh, nice ending. And this one's called Forest Hike. The sky is a black skin stretched over the forest. I walk over the gravel with a tart clicking sound. I can smell the eucalyptus, beech and evergreen pines. The wind blows cold. A jackdaw voice in my head repeats the same old fears that I am alone and I always will be. As I walk, I come across a pile of stones shaped like a heart with words, I love you, keep going, buen camino. Take one step at a time. I place my hand on my heart. The unnameable flame ushers through my body, keeps me going over the mucky path. The air is thick. Eventually, the trees thin out. A gap shows the welcome joy of grass in the wide, illuminated fields.